Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. This week, with our old friend, Lee Merengoff, director of the Marist Institute for Public Opinion. Lee received his PhD in political science from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. He's the former president of the National Council of Public Polls, NCPP, and is a current member of the Board of Trustees of that organization. He's also a trustee of the Roper Center for Public Opinion Research. In other words, he's the top guy. Welcome, Lee.
Hey, my pleasure, Alan. How you been?
Well, you know. So anyway,
we're starting already.
So anyway, you are currently releasing a new poll.
Yep.
With the latest numbers on, you know, Governor Cuomo. So let me start with Governor Cuomo. You know, he took on the rifle people and the gun people, and he's annoyed some people on fracking on both sides. Has it shown up in the polls?
Yeah, well, I think we are seeing interesting polls right now that we've done statewide on the governor. Overall, he's doing, in terms of his approval rating, pretty much what he's been getting. He's sort of, the way we ask it is different than some other organizations, but if you look at our numbers over time, it's pretty consistent. He's sort of in the mid-50s to the high 50s. He's gone up a couple numbers. He's gone down a couple points, but generally is seen as doing an excellent or good job by a majority of New York voters. That's still the case. What we are seeing in the current poll is that there's been a shift under the radar. There's been movement in terms of how he's perceived, and we can drill down to this more specifically, but he's doing as well as he was in New York City and the suburbs around New York City, but he's not doing as well upstate. He's doing better among Democrats and people who see themselves as liberal, but he's doing worse among people who are Republicans or see themselves as conservatives. And generally, whereas New Yorkers, you know, this time last year saw him as a moderate, now voters divide between whether he's a moderate or a liberal, and the number of Republicans who see him as being a liberal has grown in a year from 24 to 50. So there's clearly been a very pronounced shift under the overall approval rating. These numbers kind of offsetting each other, but he's perceived very differently right now than he was earlier on in his term.
So in these other polls we've been reading about for, it seems like forever, he'd been running at what they called 74% approval rating. You have him in the 50s, but you've always had him in the 50s. What's the difference in the way you do it?
I'm really glad you asked that, because that is somewhat confusing and needs to be clarified. We ask a question and always have on governors in New York dating back to 1982, when Mario Cuomo assumed the governorship, actually in 1983. But we've always asked a four-item question, which generally asks people to tell us whether they have an excellent, good, fair, or poor rating of the job holder. And then we take the excellent and goods and call that an approval rating. Some folks, and you alerted to a poll that was in the 70s on Cuomo, will just ask whether people approve or disapprove.
Uh-huh.
Now, the reason we do it the way we do it is because it gets the extremes. In other words, it's important to see the excellence and the poors and to try to get that gradation. Also, if someone's running for re-election, typically the excellent and goods are people who are largely going to vote for that guy again. The fairs and the poors are, you know, more in a shopping around mood. So when we want to measure the electability or the re-electability of a politician, our measure, we feel, is better in that regard as a better indicator. Now, that having been said, if you ask people who say in our poll, well, the guy's doing a fair job, and you ask them, well, do you approve or disapprove? Probably about a third of them would, you know, go positive on that. So that's why the questionnaires that do approve, disapprove actually have a, quote, higher approval rating than ours do. Bottom line, his numbers are, you know, the way we do it, consistent with the way we've done it over time, is that he's in the high 50s, and that's a very strong number. And probably it's better not to compare to other organizations who use different questions. As we say in polling, you get what you ask for. And, you know, the way we ask it is, you know, gets an approval rating that we find very useful.
Now, how would you compare how this governor is doing with all of those years when you were looking at other governors?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Certainly, you know, when you compare him to his father's tenure in office, his numbers are a little lower than those were. And using, again, the same question, Mario Cuomo was in the low to mid-60s and then had an ascendancy period in his second term that got him even higher numbers. And memory serves me correctly, I think the numbers even broke 70 at one point, even in our measurement. But also, those were very different times. So I think right now, you know, Andrew Cuomo is governing in a time when, you know, the economy has been so shaky for so long, and yet we do have a majority of New Yorkers now who think the state is headed in the right direction, which is very hard to do because the currents are very strong going in the other way in terms of what people are experiencing in their lives from a variety of issues, and to actually feel that things are turning around. When we ask the question whether Cuomo has done, you know, a good job changing government in Albany or addressing government in Albany, a majority feels so. And when we ask him about whether, you know, people think he's a good leader, whether he cares about the average person, I mentioned changing things in Albany for the better. I mean, these are all questions that even people who don't necessarily think he's doing a great job overall are positive. So his numbers are almost at 70% on leadership and in the mid-60s on caring about people and 61% on changing the way things work in Albany for the better. So I think that he certainly has established himself in a very positive way with New York voters, you know, at a time when, you know, that's certainly hard to do. I mean, I think he has to be evaluated in the context of, you know, the times he's governing, because this is not a good time to be chief executive of the state.
Indeed. Talk to me, Lee Meringoff, about fracking. He's been all over the lot on this one, I suspect. First, we all thought he was going to do it, then got all of these people filing petitions basically saying, don't do it. And now you got the president of the United States saying, do it. What are you finding?
Well, you know, this is as you indicate, not only one that politicians have tried to cover a lot of different ground on, but certainly one that the public has been torn on. It's a hard issue for the public. It's a hard issue for people just generally to understand. And right now what we see in New York is that New Yorkers are pretty much split. When we ask people whether they're for or against it, the numbers are 40-41. So, you know, one out of five tell us they're unsure. And there's really no consensus among the public as to whether this should go forward or not. So maybe there will be clarity down the road. It's an issue that some people have very, very strong feelings about, clearly. And, you know, those voices, I think, have been heard to a significant extent. And I think that's what's caused, you know, a lot of delays in, you know, addressing the issue. But there's no doubt that it's one of those issues that doesn't speak with clarity as far as public opinion is concerned. People are mixed when they have an opinion, and a large group don't even have an opinion because they're just not sure how to weigh in on it. There's still a gap there to fill.
You know, political scientists have often discussed saliency, how important an issue is to someone. Now, I think there's a group out there for guns. I think there's a group out there with fracking who say, okay, I would literally vote against this guy if he does what I don't want him to do.
I think that this is, you know, one of those issues, that, and I think that's what's going on with Andrew Cuomo generally right now. There are some issues like guns, like hydrofracking. There are issues now that, you know, when you've been governing for a couple of years, you know, you sort of end up taking a stand on these issues. Hydrofracking, the jury's still out on, but the guns is a very good example where you are going to, you know, have people take a second look at you, and some of the things that you've done are going to now be seen in light of your position on that particular issue. So it, in a sense, dwarfs other issues. I must say, on the gun issue, what we thought was very interesting, although, you know, at first look, almost half say they're not satisfied with the gun law, and only 41% think that what Governor Cuomo put forward is about right. Interestingly, 30% think it goes too far, but 19% think it doesn't go far enough.
Yeah, count me in.
So, you know, to be dissatisfied doesn't mean that you think necessarily it's gone too far. 19% think that probably has not been adequate, hasn't gone far enough, and clearly gun owners are, you know, way off the charts in terms of, that his proposal was excessive. And upstate voters, again, that same narrative that we started the program with him now being seen in a different light. And upstate, the numbers have softened for him, and I think this is part of the reason for that. Although I must say, his approval rating is still in the high 40s upstate. So it's not like it's a disaster for him. It's more that it has changed and that the numbers upstate went from a very high 58 to a still decent 49.
Let me ask you about this saliency business.
Sure.
Is there some way you can measure on a particular issue whether people who have been for somebody or against somebody have changed their mind based on that issue?
Well, we do that sometimes. We didn't do it in this particular case, so we're sort of inferring from the narrative that has emerged from this current data set on the governor that this is sort of the shift, because all the questions point in the same direction. In other words, how he's being perceived differently, Democrats and liberals versus Republicans and conservatives, and upstaters versus New York City and the suburbs, a more classic division along party and regional lines. We have asked questions over the years that try to get at the cause behind the movement. I mean, one of the questions we asked on a totally unrelated topic, but it was very interesting, was during the presidential elections. We were asking about whether people had made up their minds as a result of a debate. And what we found very interesting, I think, was that people, in fact, hadn't. And although you may have thought that your guy won or lost the debate, you kind of felt like, gee, that's not going to do him any good. But it didn't change your mind. You thought it might change someone else's. And in this case, the debates basically, were entertainment for political junkies, but didn't have much bearing on the election. Mm. Even the first debate, which was the one, obviously, that that was the one he didn't show up at. So yes, questions can elicit those kinds of reactions. And I think the hydrofracking is because it is connected with other important issues like energy independence, economy, like the environment. I mean, these are all, $5 terms in politics, and they all matter to people. And so when you associate those with decisions, then, it's tough to sort of be on the sideline on issues like that. I might add, we asked about education, and we did sort of like something that public opinion folks do sometimes, where we ask the question on longer school days or a longer calendar year, and we ask the question two ways. And in one way, we put in the phrase, Governor Cuomo has proposed that, X, Y, and Z. And the other way, we just asked what the proposal was. And in both instances, when you put Governor Cuomo's name in front of it, the number in supporting those proposals kicked up. So it shows a continuing sway that he has with a lot of voters. It makes a difference whether your position on an issue, and I guess this gets related to your salience issue, makes a difference on an issue whether his name is associated with it or not. In this case, for him at this point in his time as governor, that's a positive association on the issue. So we'll see how hydrofracking plays out, and if it then becomes something that he owns, whether that has some significance with voters or not. That's still to be seen.
Talk to me about tax cap, which is closely related to what you were just talking about, education. Are people admiring of his ability to put the brakes on taxes, or are they all over the place?
Well, and that's tough. I mean, obviously, taxes and spending issues have really dominated New York, and as they are right now nationally. And I think that people were generally favorable towards, what he's done in the local tax area and the cap and things of that sort. We haven't asked that recently, so I don't have any current data on that. But clearly there's a sense, and we see this in the national debate, that people are not in a spending mood. They're not in a cutting mood. They're in a revenue-generating mood only if the taxes are raised on the wealthy. If you want to know where public opinion is, just look at what Barack Obama was saying in the last presidential campaign. He was focusing on the middle class. He was focusing on taxing the wealthy. He's right at the center of where public opinion is on those issues. And in many ways, if you looked at Andrew Cuomo's State of the State and Barack Obama's State of the Union, some parts look like they could have been written by the same person. It was a lot of similarities.
Or by the same pollster.
Or by the same pollster. Yeah, but I mean, there was an overlap in approach in terms of...
I get it. But, Lee, do you think these people... You're a political scientist, a brilliant one, if I may say so. And do you think that these guys are ruling by polling these days?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I've always felt, and I don't know if there's a wishful thinking element to this, but I always feel that you don't find where public opinion is and then follow it, but a good polling helps you shape and define and position how you present things. And I think that's probably, in Governor Cuomo's instance, I mean, a lot to do with where he is. I mean, I think when he moves on an issue like guns, for example, you know, there may be political advantage, there may be long-term desires on his part and national prominence and things like that. But I suspect the polls help shape that. I don't think they necessarily, there's where public opinion is and go follow it. I mean, and I think you're better advised if you're a pollster for politicians to play your role that way rather than, I know Jeb Bush was in Washington this week and seems to have, covered the gamut on immigration issues. And I think you get into the, John Kerry flip-flop mode. I mean, no one's ever recovered from that. You can't be on both sides of issues. And Mitt Romney had that problem. And, consistency really works with the public.
So talk to me a little bit, if you would, about the president's numbers compared to Andrew Cuomo's.
Yeah, we haven't put those together yet on the president. I mean, New York is, is interesting. Obviously, it's a blue state, and, one would think that electorally, I mean, New York is not a competitive state and hasn't been for some time and is likely not to be given demographic patterns. But President Obama is having difficulty with public opinion generally, and the whole sequestration crisis in Washington, regardless of how he tries to look like he's running against Washington and stay with the public and put pressure on Washington, you're part of that. And, 5 years into his administration, he can't avoid owning some of where we are on this. Now, he's going to clearly blame any kind of downturn in the economy on the cuts that are taking place and that will in some ways inoculate him politically. But nonetheless, people are going to evaluate him based on how the economy is doing. And, he's not running against Mitt Romney right now. He can run against the Republicans in Congress, but that's a little bit different. And, it gives you as much political leeway as you can get, but it doesn't solve the problem. So the bottom line on that is Barack Obama's numbers are not as robust as president as Andrew Cuomo's are in New York. And part of that has to do, Cuomo has managed to get things through. He's been able to work with the legislature. And, it's not going to get covered much, but one of the more startling findings in our current poll is that the ratings for the state Senate and state assembly, although very, very low, for the first time in a long time, have shown a change. The state Senate has moved from 22 to 30 and the assembly from 24 to 30. So you're talking about 3 in 10 approving of the job that those two chambers are doing, but that's up from what it's been. I mean, they were really rock bottom for a long time.
Interesting. The minimum wage situation obviously deserves a poll. I'm sure you've done it.
Yep.
What are you finding?
Very, very favorable. The increase in the minimum wage, and again, paralleling Cuomo's State of the State and Obama's State of the Union, where these were proposed different amounts of money, clearly. We asked about the New York proposal, 7.25 to 8.75, and we see more than two-thirds of voters in New York think we should move in that direction. And rather than just ask about the minimum wage, we said, because it's a good idea because it adds to people's income, or a bad idea because businesses will hire fewer people who need jobs. And we thought that put a better context on what the arguments were, and we put income versus jobs, which is sort of what the tension is on that, and yet almost 7 in 10 voters support the idea of raising the minimum wage. So I think this is something that we're going to see. If the political leadership is watching public opinion on this question, I think we're going to see it move ahead both in New York and maybe even nationally as well.
I am so fascinated, Lee Marengoff, by what's going on in the state Senate. My hypothesis is that Governor Cuomo wants a Republican Senate. I'm not alone in that, because they'll be the bad guys and say no. Whereas if the current crop of the regular Democrats have their way, there'll be no top. Now you got these 4 or 5 dissident Democrats who are out there and basically under Jeff Klein from the Bronx, and they have a philosophy that is very different from the Republicans. In other words, they're for, things like the minimum wage, but they want to be in control, so they make a deal with the Republicans and give them a majority. Are you picking up anything about voter discontent about all of this?
Yeah, we didn't really ask about that, but I will, share with you how fascinating it all is, because, I mean, it really speaks to the insider's inside game. I mean, this is leverage within a chamber that, you know, has been seen as largely dysfunctional. And now this sort of works Cuomo's way because there's sort of like this confused alignment along party lines in the Senate. And, you know, as you say, it's a very odd pairing. I guess the odd couple analogy has been overused, but I mean, this certainly falls well within that.
But Cuomo can have anything he wants, in my opinion, from the Republicans in the Senate, because the moment they tick him off, you know, he pulls out the rug from under them. They know that, and they're not in the majority anymore.
Yeah, and that's one. And two, I mean, the Republicans in New York, who are obviously much more conservative than Democrats, still don't have the threat of the Tea Party primary like Republicans in Congress do. If you're a congressman or a senator and you start singing Obama's praises or vote with him, you're inviting a challenge that could easily or potentially unseat you. In Albany, that threat is not as pronounced, so you can, you know, it gives the Republican office holder a little more leeway to do something for his district if he can get a trade with Cuomo on an issue or two and then in exchange for votes. And it makes it all much more functional. And look, Cuomo, if you go down the scorecard of things he said he was going to do when he first ran for office, you can just check them off one by one. I mean, you know, he's run quite a string.
Lee Merengoff, it's always wonderful to talk to you. And I never have enough time to ask all the questions I'd like to. It is the Capital Connection with Lee Merengoff, who is one of the brightest people I know, a PhD in political science from MIT, former president of the National Council of Public Polls, and every other kind of thing that one could say about a person who has reached the top of their profession. So we thank you so much, Lee, for doing this for us. We know that you're busy at NBC and everywhere else, and everybody wants a piece of you. So we thank you for being with us.
Hey, my pleasure, Al.
Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gastina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org, and NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decision to end sexual violence with the My Strength Is Not For Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.